Welcome to JAG Talk, a podcast series featuring Navy JAG community experts. Listen to in-depth discussions about different legal fields and hear insights and lessons learned from practitioners across our enterprise.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of our podcast. I'm Lieutenant Greg Lines. Today's episode is going to be a good one, folks. We've put together an all-star lineup of guests who are coming to answer the question, VLCs, where are they now? Make sure your headphones are charged. Here we go. My first guest is joining us from Norfolk, Virginia, where he serves as a victims legal counsel. He's here to offer us some current perspectives as we look back over the last 10 years and how things have changed and what the current situation looks like for VLCs. Without further ado, please welcome Lieutenant Travis Bullock.
All right. Thanks for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, so Travis, if you don't mind, could you walk us through just real quickly your route through the JAG Corps?
Sure, absolutely. So I completed my first tour at Real Soap Midland, where for 12 months I was a trial counsel. I had the opportunity to sit first chair on two cases and sort of handle my own case file. From there, I went out to the Pacific to be a defense counsel at DSO PAC Detachment Pearl Harbor. I was there for 2 years. Actually, decided to leave that position early to come be a VLC out here back in Norfolk.
And so we've been really fortunate over the last couple hours to hear from VLCs from different time periods and kind of compare and contrast what it was like for them during their tenure and how it is today. So I just want to kind of pick your brain for a moment with some of the things that were shared earlier. So starting with kind of the idea of the value of VLC, we've heard from a couple different folks today, like Commander Crody and Lieutenant Commander Baldoni, that both on their personal levels and also kind of as a MilJust practitioner, they came to realize the value of the VLC program, you know, sometimes when coming up against the government on a particular issue. Do you feel that you've had kind of a similar experience, or how have you come to understand the value of the program and how it fits in the system?
Absolutely. It's a great question. I think for me, in my approach as a VLC, it's really been the value that I provide is to my client, right? It's really being that person, being that lawyer, being that advocate who's there and available for my client to make sure that they're making informed decisions, right? That for me is sort of the real value of the program, because it does a lot to increase your client's confidence in not only the military justice system, but the military. Right, because here's this uniformed person who is advocating for them, sometimes against, you know, what they consider the powers that be, right? The government, the committing authority, people that are sort of nameless, faceless entities that make decisions that impact their lives. But then there's me, who is this very named, very faced person who is in their corner and advocating for them, right? And so that for me has been the value of the program. But there's absolutely moments where I've had to advocate on my client's behalf to the government, right? You would sort of assume that the government's interests would be aligned with the victims, but they aren't always. And when they aren't, it's, you know, our responsibility as VLC to get in the arena and advocate for them, which is also a point of value. So,
yeah, and I would add to that, I think it's almost on a provider-to-provider basis sometimes when you know, there may be folks who have been practicing for a while who have interacted with VLC a lot, and through those interactions kind of gain that appreciation, where sometimes, you know, it may not be until the VLC gets really involved in a case, whether that be, you know, in motions or in helping present potential plea offers to a client, that, you know, they begin to see the value of VLC, not just, oh, this other person I've got to call and I get access to the victim through.
Absolutely.
So one interesting thing I thought was when Commander Crody was talking about, you know, maybe sometimes back in the day it was hard for VLCs because they didn't have access to information. What would you say about today and kind of VLC access to information? Like what's kind of the current landscape and how do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, Greg, as you know, here in Norfolk, I would say by and large we still have those similar issues. Right. I mean, some of our rights to notice and an opportunity to be heard are now statutory. Right. So there's certain instances where it's required. But not only do those not always happen, you know, even the required, you know, notice, but sometimes even just things like, for example, the Seder, getting a Seder at the end of the case, sometimes the command will issue it to you, sometimes they won't, right? And so it's just things like that. So very much an issue that we still face, maybe not to the same extent 10 years ago, but very much still an issue.
Yeah, and I think there are much clearer guidelines in general for the client's ability to access parts of the case file and be able to have information to respond to motions. I think that has been cleared out on a legal basis, right? But on a practical, I think the battle today is still in the practical level of constantly reminding people, you know, hey, I'm involved, you know, I need the information to be able to respond to this, or, you know, please remember to CC me on emails when we're scheduling cases and whatnot.
Right.
And Commander Murphy also talked about this, you know, judges being very good about looking to VLC to speak on particular issues, you know, when we do have clear standing. What has your experience been with judges and other providers kind of recognizing your moment to be heard?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a good question. And I think it's going to depend on the judge and how familiar they are with the program and how comfortable they are with giving this non-party, us VLC, you know, our time in the well. I mean, and it's in a lot of ways it's easier nowadays, I imagine, because we have these defined avenues, MRE 5, you know, 412, MRE 513, you know, even MRE 514 in some instances, where VLC have been given the opportunity to actually get in the well and advocate for clients. But I have also argued, for example, issues under RCM 701, right? That may be tangentially touched on a 412 or 513 issue, but really was a question of production. And the judge gave me an opportunity to get in the well and to advocate, right? So rightly or wrongly, might I add, right? Because there's really no clear guidance on whether VLC have standing on an issue that is properly brought to the court that concerns something other than 412, 513, right? And so, yeah, it really is just going to depend on the judge.
And stepping kind of outside of the courtroom realm for a minute, so with other groups like, let's say, you know, the SAPR team, NCIS, commands, FAP, how do you think, you know, over the last couple of years, the VLC have been come to be seen by those individuals and groups?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the command, again, I think it's going to depend on the individual CO or commander about how they see us. If they see us as an asset, as a barrier, that's sort of my experience, and I've been here for about 2 years, has been sort of hit or miss there. SAPR world, the SARCs, by and large, they know what we are and what we can do. You know, my working relationship with them has always been one of, hey, you're the subject matter expert on this stuff, right? Particularly court rules, and military justice process and procedure in general. But they also have their own lane that they stay in and are well aware of what that is. And so, you know, we sort of understand that about each other and we work well together. FAP, on the other hand, maybe not so much, right? I think there is this tension between what we are trying to do as VLC on behalf of our clients and what FAP is trying to do for our clients and their families. There may be this natural tension that exists. And so, you know, not as smooth a working relationship there, but not, that sort of comes with the territory, right? At the end of the day, we as VLC, we're accountable to our clients. And at the end of the day, our clients' goals are what matters. And if they align with FAP, great. If they don't align with FAP, then I'm going to step in and advocate for our clients.
Well, and I think listening back to Commander Crotty, we thankfully, you know, over the last 10 years are in a world where not everyone hates us. And I do think the program has been successful, broadly speaking, in helping all of these different groups see the value that VLC brings. And a lot of times the referrals that we get come because these different entities are, you know, properly notifying people of their rights to counsel and really kind of selling the program for us, right? And helping people know that they don't have to navigate these complex issues alone.
Absolutely.
So kind of going to a comment that Commander Murphy said about, you know, the Victims Legal Counsel program giving victims access to kind of that third table. In your experience, having been on the defense side and then on the VLC side, have you seen the value that that gives to individual clients to be able to have that kind of meaningful participation?
Yes, but I think it's important to note that one of the sort of major discussion points for that I have with my clients, so one of the major discussion points for me with my clients is that, we have a seat close to the arena, but we're not in it, right? And sort of keeping them grounded in this idea that we are not a party, right? And so we have certain limited rights, limited standing, but that doesn't mean really we get to dictate anything. We just get an opportunity to provide our perspective, present facts, and provide argument on the things that court has deemed we do have standing on, right? And so it is nice to not be relegated to a member of the gallery, right? To have that sort of third table. But, you know, at least for me, for my clients, that also comes with a, you know, a reminder that, yeah, we're close, right? But we're not in the door, right? We're not in the room.
Right, right. And I think Lieutenant Commander Baldoni talked about that too, how educating on that part and kind of playing into the overall role of educating the client and helping them feel properly informed is in itself, right, a good thing that they can walk away with. You know, that sense of understanding and empowerment for the limited things that they're able to do, they can do in a meaningful way.
Right.
One other thing that Commander Murphy shared was kind of her, you know, very personal experience of dealing with kind of a family tragedy and the command supporting her and the job, you know, offering that kind of work-life balance that helped her kind of get through that period. Would you say that that's still an aspect of the program that, you know, people can rely on coming into the job?
Absolutely, very much so. Even in a place as busy as Norfolk, you know, we just have, well, especially in a place as busy as Norfolk with as many VLC here that we have in the same office, it's sort of a unique opportunity where if you have life issues that you need to address, if you have, you know, outside of the JAG Corps aspirations that you want to reach for, this program really does give you an opportunity to do those things. You know, that doesn't mean, you know, come here if you want an LLM or come here, but it does give you these opportunities to pursue other avenues to help you, you know, in your career progression, help you really stand out because of the way that we manage our own cases, right? Like you're given clients and you have a caseload, and as long as you're meeting the needs for your clients, then you will be able to do other things and pursue other things. So it's definitely still good in that respect.
One of the things that Lieutenant Commander Jarzik shared was that going into the VLC position helped her realize how much she liked doing SJA work as opposed to MILJS jobs. Would you say that this job has helped you in a similar way figure out what you like, what you don't like, and can you kind of view it as a stepping stone one way or the other?
Yeah, I think so, because I think there are aspects of, you know, sort of both SJA work and military justice that we are fortunate enough to be involved with, especially if you get cases that go to trial, you know. And I would say I had the exact opposite realization where I sort of doubled down and knew that military justice was what I wanted to do, in part because I got to see so many cases as a VLC, but also because, you know, sitting in on the sidelines watching other practitioners practice can be something that motivated me to want to get back into the arena. So I do think, yeah, because of the sort of scope of our practice, you do get to see some things that SJAs do, some things that you know, military justice practitioners do, and can help you really make that choice.
So now, kind of 2 years into the job, how do you see this experience as being valuable to your overall JAG Corps career?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's just given me another opportunity to be in a large command, right? So while we're a program, we are large. We are worldwide, right? So it's gotten me an opportunity to be a part of a command in which I have a lot of peers who I can you know, lean on for guidance, ask for support, all that sort of stuff. But also at the end of the day, right, we're all in the Navy, we're trying to promote other folks that I can compete against. So that's one sort of advantage. The other thing it really did for me, and just to repeat, right, like it really sort of sharpened my commitment to the military justice career litigation track. As you know, but our listeners may not know, I was selected for the track this past cycle. So, you know, this myth that VLC can't make it on the track is not true. So that was nice. Really, for me, it was relearning and re-understanding my commitment to providing client services, right? Like having my own clients who have their own needs, and I get to advocate for those needs, whether it's with defense, government, command, doesn't matter. I'm just my client's advocate. This program has really helped me to sort of sharpen and hone that, you know, that aspect of my legal practice and really sharpen that preference.
Looking back at what others have said, particularly our MILJUST folks like Lieutenant Commander Baldoni and Commander Crotty, it could also be viewed as, you know, this is a really must-do for a lot of MILJUST folks. And, you know, getting the perspective, understanding what VLC does, what the role of the crime victim is, and also understanding pollinating between the two, right? And the VLC tour informing the way that you approach victims as a defense counsel or as a trial counsel and things like that.
Yeah, well, I'll say this, actually, because you brought up a good thing. Having come off of a DSO tour, As a defense attorney, you really don't know what to think of VLC. I mean, honestly, what I thought of VLC was that this is just a barrier between me and the victim. Like, I now can't access this witness who I otherwise would have had access to. And that's really all you think about VLC as a defense attorney. But having, you know, been in this role and having actually advocated to defense for plea agreements that were favorable to my client, right? Plea agreements that the government may not necessarily endorse, but things that my client has indicated that they want and defense is willing to at least hear us out on, has been valuable. I think this role is going to reshape the way that I think about VLC moving forward in the military justice world from all perspectives, not just government, but also from defense, right? Now I don't see VLC as a barrier as much, right? I mean, they're still protecting their clients in that regard, but I certainly do think that I'll reach out to the VLC if I'm ever a defense attorney again.
Which is interesting that you say that, because that sounds almost exactly like what Commander Crotty said earlier. Kind of what does the future look like for you? Where do you go from here?
Yeah, for me, since I was just, you know, picked up for the track, hopefully it'll be back into a litigation billet, back as a party, either government or defense. But, you know, my time as a VLC was not wasted. It was well spent. And, you know, not only the opportunity to see other practitioners and how they practice, how they approach issues, sort of being in the courtroom with some understanding of the case and watching other practitioners and how they approach their cases, openings, closings, directs, crosses, all that stuff, has been helpful, you know, especially in that first year. Again, after a while, you get kind of tired sitting on the bench. You want to get called into the game. But, you know, this has really been a valuable experience in that regard.
Yeah, that reminds me of kind of a funny comment I had with one of the judges here in Norfolk of, he was telling me, you know, I think the hardest thing about being the VLC is sitting back and feeling that you could have done it better.
Yep, I've heard that as well. So I think I know who you're talking about. But I mean, there's certainly an aspect of that, you know. But also, just in all good fun, it's an opportunity to grow, to watch other folks and how they approach issues.
For those people who are, you know, kind of set, they want to do military justice, there kind of is this myth that your skills may atrophy if you're not in a core litigation billet. So, and recognizing as a VLC, you will not be responding to as many motions, right? Because you're simply not party to a lot. But what ways have you found you could mitigate that and have opportunities to do legal research, to do motions, and kind of keep those skills sharp?
I think that can happen. in a certain respect for certain skills, right? So I haven't cross-examined someone in over 2 years, right? I haven't given an opening or closing in 2 years. What I have done in those 2 years is I've researched, Emory 513 to the very edges of the law, right? Like I've responded to Emory 412 motions in less than 2 hours, right? Because invariably the parties wait until right before the deadline to submit, and you sometimes don't want to submit for the government. So, yes, some skills may atrophy, but those sort of core skills, research and writing, applying facts to law, making argument, especially if you're willing to get yourself in the arena, if you have those cases that allow you to get into the courtroom, then, you know, it's not like you're starting from square one when you go back to a litigation billet.
Right, definitely not from scratch. And I think today, as we look at the program compared to where it was 10 years ago, we have a lot more in place now to allow you to keep using those skills if you want to, right? And particularly, I'm thinking of the initiatives we have like the Victims Legal Counsel Assistance Program, or VCAP, or the appellate team. So could you kind of talk through how being involved with those has helped you kind of keep your skills sharp?
Absolutely. And I am on both the VCAP and the appellate team. So I'll start with VCAP. So it's what's really nice about VCAP is that these are issues that practitioners are facing in the field real time, right? And so if they can, they'll snap us off an email just explaining the issue and give us an opportunity to respond and give us our take. And what's that? What that's done is it's given me an opportunity to research things that I was not exposed to here in my practice, right? So I'm getting to see issues that are happening in the field from across the world and then given an opportunity to weigh in on them, right? And that sort of research and preparation, but also assistance, not only helps the person who's reaching out, but it helps me, right? I get to research things that didn't come up in my practice here. The appellate team, similar story, right? You just get exposed to more than you otherwise would as a member of the appellate team. And I've certainly had meaningful opportunities to participate in, for instance, drafting an amicus brief, helping to write a writ, although I really can't take a lot of credit for that. You did all of the work yourself, Greg, so that's incredible. But just getting the opportunity to be exposed to that sort of thing is invaluable. Great programs. I think those are new to the program as of a year or 2 years ago. And so I hope those continue on to the future because those are great opportunities, especially for folks who want to be in the military justice track.
So as we leave the first decade of the VLC program, what do you see as coming for the program in its next decade?
As a member of the VLC program, I'm happy it exists. I think this has been a wonderful tour for me, not only work-life balance-wise, but also just being able to deliver for clients and advocate on their behalf, I think is just a feeling that, it's maybe that's why I'm a lawyer, right? Is to help stand up for my clients. So I'm glad the program exists. Where I sort of hope to see it go in the future is obviously to continue as sort of frontline in the trenches VLC, continuing to do the work to advocate for our clients every day. But I would really love to see an emphasis on how VLC can change the legal framework for our clients, right? I think certainly within the past 5 years that I've really been plugged into military justice as a JAG, it just seems like VLC are trying to take laws, statute, rules that weren't written with a holistic view of not only the victim, but the system in mind. And we're trying to sort of fit that square peg into a round hole and just say, hey, this right exists, therefore it means this. only to have NMCCA or CAF say, no, that's not what that says, right? And so, you know, at a certain point in time, the focus needs to be shared, not only with the frontline work that we're doing, but how we can change the legal landscape for our clients, how we can actually get them rights codified and thoroughly outlined, you know, with just within the UCMJ. I think, you know, if I were a betting man, I would bet that that's where the VLC program sort of goes in the future.
Travis, I want to thank you again for joining us. Definitely a lot of great reflections as we were able to kind of talk through, you know, what was previously shared and, you know, your own personal observations. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for the time, Greg. I appreciate it.
During my conversations with past VLCs, the themes that kept emerging were, first, learning the value of the VLC program through meaningful interactions with clients and other providers. Second, a VLC tour being as great as you make it if you choose to bloom where you're planted. And also, VLC as a program that gives you the flexibility to really tailor your practice in a way that works for you and your clients. And lastly, whether you're a MILJS person or more SJA-minded, a VLC tour, as we've heard, can provide you with skills, insights, and experience that can strengthen your career in the JAG Corps, regardless of which way you go. It was interesting to see the different paths that have been taken by people like Lieutenant Commander Baldoni, Commander Crotty, more so on the military justice side, also those of Commander Murphy and Lieutenant Commander Jarzik and Lieutenant Commander Franks, who have gone out into the fleet, have gone into other leadership positions, and really taken their VLC experience and used it in ways that go far beyond the courtroom and influence the Navy in very important and meaningful ways. And that, folks, concludes our program. Thank you for joining me, and please join with me in wishing a happy 10-year anniversary to the Navy Victims Legal Counsel Program.
You have been listening to JAG Talk, a podcast series featuring Navy JAG community experts. Visit jag.navy.mil for additional chapters of this podcast series. Thank you for tuning in.